All right, man. Well, that's enough of this
closing
stuff.
Closing main breaker.
And you know what that means, boys and girls.
It's time for the Jimmy Dome Show.
Jimmy Dome!
Hey! We're back.
We're back.
Day before Halloween.
Jimmy has survived.
Everybody's all dressed up in costumes.
October 30th, 2008.
Absolutely.
October 30th, that's right. Gators won their game last weekend.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, 53-3 or something.
No, 60-something to something.
Whatever, it's a stomp anyway. We got Jack
Rhodes.
You
know, we should have them back for every homecoming.
Yeah. Well, we usually do. We usually try and get somebody we can walk over for homecoming.
Yeah. Everybody does. Walked all over. I should play that as an outro track by AC/DC. That's good. All right.
Okay, we got October 30th, 2008. Last show probably of this month.
Special election show.
Special pre-election show.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
Buy your ammunition now.
That's right. Yeah, well, you know, I told you that's one of the reasons I think the stock market is tanked is that everybody thinks that Obama's going to win and they're going to lose their ass and they're taking their money and putting it in their mattress.
Get your gold. Get your lead.
Yeah. Well, gold is gold is surprising.
Get your lead.
Get your lead.
Counselor Curtis is here with us.
Hey, how are you, Jimmy?
And we got the Mixmeister. Engineer Eric.
Hey, I brought a studio babe.
You did.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, check it out, man.
Real?
She's hot.
Real?
Put the mic over there.
Oh my God.
Holy crap.
If in case you need, of course, you just saw it because she put the boobs on the mic.
Wow. What's that big stain on her shirt?
Lisa. Lovely Lisa.
Lovely Lisa. Me too.
Okay, well, this could be a short show. Okay,
yeah,
we're done.
Real short.
Yeah, okay, that's
done.
It. We're done. I'm out of here.
All right.
That's it. I'm done.
Let's go ahead and fade this music.
That's it. Now, can we do the outro now?
It's the same song.
Oh, that's right.
All I'm going to do is just fade it down.
That's it.
Hey, you guys have a great week, man, and I hope that Obama doesn't get elected and have a great one.
So we're gonna talk a little bit about that, but also, of course, the big news is still the bailout.
It is.
Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Really? You think the bailout's bigger than the election right now?
Oh, man.
Well, it's all the same.
I think the bailout didn't work.
I did notice that we did get a note from Counselor to be Bart about that movie Nailin' Palin.
Love it, man.
Apparently somebody has photoshopped really obscene.
That's an actual actress playing her in a porno movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's Lisa.
It's
and
Tina
somebody.
Faye.
Yeah.
It's whatever. Lisa who?
Well, it's not this Lisa. It's another Lisa.
She could do it.
Yeah. Totally.
She's a little sex bot, isn't she?
Anyway,
they call it a, quote, movie, unquote.
Right. And
is it a documentary?
Don't expect any Oscars.
Yeah, don't expect any Oscars. Thank you, Bart. I love it. And, of course, Jimmy just got back from his 2,000-mile trip driving Grandma and everybody up to Washington, D.C.
No worse for the wear, Jimmy. You look practically only five years older.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it was great. You know, it's always great having when you have three women in the car, plus Andrea.
GPS, right.
And they're in our constant argument.
Right.
I mean, Andrea, you know, has no mercy. She, you know, she always wants to do a U-turn because then Grandma's sitting there stomping on the brakes and in the back seat and telling me where to go.
Jimmy, didn't you have two ears when you left here?
Well, it was quite the trip. But one thing that we did do while we were up there, we drove spent a little side trip.
You drove through Barack Obama's house?
Yeah, no. Mm. But it was interesting.
Thank you, come again.
A lot of people, we took a taxi cab with a terrorist.
You did?
Nice. Yeah, the guy was, and of course, your mother.
What did he say? He says, I'm getting off here, I'm going to blow up some building, and I'll see you later.
Mrs. Jimmy, of course, had to start asking questions like, have you thrown any bombs recently?
No, I'm serious.
No. No, really.
Nine.
Awesome.
Who are you voting
Nine
for?
Of mine
and then
fuel.
She starts arguing with the guy, says he's going to vote for Obama, and he's dressed, seriously, he's
back.
Literally dressed like a terrorist. He has a turban.
Back, I'm bombing you.
The whole thing, and hardly speaks any English, speaks like Arabic or something. He's driving us around. We're in his cab, okay?
Right.
And Ms. Jimmy starts,
is this an actual car bomb?
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, exactly. You know, is there any C4 under the seat?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I'm thinking, shut up. You know, I tell you, two glasses of wine, there's just no, I don't know the reason. Just
Well, Jimmy, we're glad to have you back. Good to see you made it.
Yeah, glad to see you made it.
Wow, so, I mean, but was the party okay?
The party was great.
The old people?
Got to see, I did all my official dancing.
Right.
Well, actually, it was kind of like cripples or something.
Right.
Have you ever tried to dance with somebody in a walker? I mean, it's not
personally.
It's not,
no.
No, well, I have.
Okay,
and I did
you
well.
Have to, oh, that's right, because you worked at the old folks' home, right?
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, and these were. You have to understand.
Walkers
this is,
and
this
wheelchairs.
This
well,
is
wheelchairs
my
people
aunt's.
Can kind of get funky.
This is my aunt's 95th birthday,
right.
And there were people there older than her.
Wow.
So.
You spring chicken.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You look just like the day you were born.
That's it, exactly. So anyway, but we did take a side trip to North Carolina, ran up to Highlands to do a little venture for a client. And turned out, because of global warming, they had, for the first ever in the recorded history, they had snow this time of year.
Ah, really?
2 inches of snow. They had anywhere from a half an inch to 2 inches of snow in about 19 different places. It was all in the newspaper. And I guess it's because of global warming. First time ever, coldest ever. Record-setting. Here in Gainesville, we had record-setting.
Right.
Record-setting cold.
Record low.
By like 7 degrees. It wasn't like any nano-degree difference. It was like
right.
Big difference. Okay, global warming. And once again, we love to hear about global warming.
Thank goodness Obama's going to save us all.
Well, that's right. He's going to wave his wand. Now, I did want to say...
I did see a bumper sticker, actually. It said, if Obama's the answer, it must be a stupid question.
Yeah. Well, then,
that's kind of interesting.
It's no question. Okay. What happened today, before we get into a couple of things, the people that we loved, of course, we've gone through, got some great people that visited our website, but I did want to go through one quick thing here. In 1945, the U.S. government announced the end of shoe rationing to this day.
Shoe?
Rationing. Believe it or not, they ration shoes.
What do you mean? Like, you can only have one?
You can only have one. Yeah, right. You could go buy one. Yeah, that's it. I mean, seriously. I mean, it was, you know, one or maybe one and a half. I don't know. It was a big deal. But the big news, there's two pieces of news that I thought were interesting. One, in 1961, the Soviet Union tested a hydrogen bomb with a force of 58 megatons. It was the largest bomb ever exploded. It was supposed to be 100 megatons, but it did. Half of it didn't go off. And I was.
It just got blowed out over the countryside.
Well, anyway, it's it was referred to as Big Ivan, 3-stage hydrogen device with 100 megaton capacity.
And
they talked it here. The bomb weighed 27 tons. Now I don't know that much about fusion.
Well, it's 5.5 kilograms of uranium 235 will make a bomb if you shove it together fast enough.
No, this
right.
is a hydrogen bomb.
This is a hydrogen bomb, so you had to set it off with an A-bomb.
This is a fission bomb. Yeah.
Anyway, the elaborate 5-stage parachute system was designed with a main canopy of 5,400 square feet. Anyway, they had to slow the bomb's descent, obviously, to get the airplane out of the way. Anyway, they were talking about what happened here. It's the largest man-made explosion ever. Its flash was visible 600 miles away.
You could see it from outer space.
That's right. You sure. The ground surface of the island has been leveled, swept, and licked so clean that it looks like a skating rink. The same goes for the rocks.
Well, a glowing skating rink.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a trace of unevenness on the ground. Everything in the area has been swept, clean, scoured, melted, and blown away.
Nice.
And I love this. For his role in the test, the bomber pilot was promoted to a lieutenant colonel and made a hero of the Soviet Union. Well, this is good. But I love this. But they made two of them. It says here the two of them were, and one they didn't drop.
They sold it on eBay?
A dummy remains on display at the Russian Atomic Museum. Okay, well, this is good.
Well, why is this relevant, Jimmy? What are we talking about?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I think it's very interesting, but it's like, what? Why is it relevant?
It's fun for us, Jimmy, yeah. But I mean,
okay.
How is this the big news of the day?
Okay, no, the really big news is in 1975, the New York Daily News ran the headline, Ford to City, this is President Ford to City, drop dead. The headline came a day after U.S. President Gerald R. Ford said he would veto any proposed federal bailout of New York City. Now, think about it. This was 25 plus 8, whatever
so
that is.
So two presidents have basically vetoed bailouts, Grant and now Ford.
Yeah, and actually that was almost exactly 100 years after Grant did
right.
it, but this is 30-some years later, 32 years or whatever it was ago, and they basically said no bailout for New York City. Now, how does that change for today? Guess what? Everything is a bailout. Everybody wants a bailout. Here, I'm really going to hear a couple of the quick headlines.
In the Jimmy Doan show,
the governors,
is no exception.
The governors are calling for a rescue package for the states. I want to talk a little bit about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, rescue the
all
states.
All governors?
Yeah, all the governors.
I heard rescue the students.
And then
I got a student loan that needs rescuing.
Well, they're supposed to do
it's
that.
It's a bad
Obama,
loan, Jimmy.
It's a bad.
Was it a subprime? Did they fool you into taking it?
They offered me like a whole bunch of money. Said I wouldn't have to pay much of anything, and I just go to school for
you
a few years.
You were taken advantage of, clearly.
Well, you're supposed to have a job.
A yacht.
That pays money.
Jimmy, you know, I want to talk about this because this is a job. Man, what kind of cheap-ass Democrats are Hillary and Obama anyway, man? I don't want a job. I just want the money from the job.
Well, yeah.
See, what I'm thinking is not health insurance, Jimmy, but wealth insurance.
Oh, good point. You know,
wealth insurance.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Jimmy, that's what I'm thinking is you go to government schools, you start any business you want. If you make a bad decision, you get bailed out.
That's
genius.
Right.
It's
genius.
Wealth insurance.
God, yep. What?
It doesn't matter what the business is. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter because, hey, there are people in need.
Well, and it wasn't your fault that the business didn't make it.
I mean,
well,
so
even
what
if it was,
you know, I mean, but
you can always blame it on somebody else.
Yeah,
it definitely was not your fault.
I mean, you know,
the
hey,
customers didn't show up. Look,
exactly.
I was selling edible butterfly wings and nobody wanted them.
That's right. Exactly right. Not your fault.
I mean, I can't believe
chocolate
this.
Chocolate coated them, did everything it possibly could.
Chocolate covered lizard.
I sprinkled them with ant butts.
I had chocolate covered lizard tongue.
Right.
And nobody would buy the damn things. You know, and
amazing.
And it's just amazing, but I don't know what happened
to them. Fresh out. Do you have any of those left?
No.
So, you know, and under the new, the Curtis plan, you would have insurance, Jimmy. Insurance for your business. Wealth insurance.
I think it's a good idea. And the beauty of it is what I could
do. How can it fail?
Well, wait a minute. Not only that, here's the better, even a better plan is with this kind of insurance, you could just propose the business.
Yeah,
and then,
right.
And say, well, it's doomed to failure, so here I am.
Right.
Where's my money?
Exactly. And you could, with a SimCity type programs, you could even run a simulation and prove it right there.
Right. That it would not make it.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't know, Jimmy.
I don't know. For whatever reason, man, my business didn't work out.
I just think, you know, we need to get Jesse Jackson up there or something. I mean, he'll get us
some
money.
Speaking of Jesse, we haven't heard anything from Al and Jesse recently.
Well,
I saw Al Sharpton the other day. Oh, no, excuse me. I saw Al the other day on TV. He was on a...
You didn't see Al Green.
Yeah, no, Al Green. He was on BET. But yeah, Jesse is gone. Jesse is no longer the most popular black guy in America.
Why not?
Because he been replaced.
What does BET stand
for? The Messiah.
That's black entertainment, black television.
Yeah, black. Oh. Black.
And that guy's like a billionaire. The guy that started that.
I bet he's black.
Oh yeah. No, he's actually black. Is a Republican, I think.
What? Well, that's because he's got money.
That, there's a guy who did that, and the other guy who started either not Domino's, but I think one of the pizza or Subway or one of those guys that started one of those businesses is.
They're black like, too.
Yeah, and you know he goes on and preaches about self-reliance and everything. You don't hear much from him, of course.
Hallelujah.
That's
telling you. Wealth insurance, $1 million by the time you get, like, your first baby.
Well, the other thing that I saw here, let's see, what was the other? There was another headline.
Man. So if you don't get rich, your insurance is going to make you rich.
Right.
That's genius. Where do I sign up? State Farm. That State Farm? All State.
Yeah.
All State. You know,
you're in good hands.
I was reading this, talking about, of course, to continue on a little bit about the bailout, which, of course, is a joke. Here's from October 30th, Thursday, that's today, okay. The Fed steps up assault on the slump. U.S. is joining the rate cuts by China, Norway. Doubts linger as to easing's impact. But I love this. Here's the other headline I like. IMF creates $100 billion fund to aid crisis fight. I mean, we just created $100 billion. I mean, how do they get away with this? I mean, if I create a 20... I go to jail forever. You know, and here these guys create $100 billion.
Jimmy, I think it has to be said. I mean,
I'm not happy about that.
Jimmy, I think it has to be said. The Federal Reserve System is just plain thievery. I mean, it's just wrong.
It's just wrong. That's just right. It's just mean.
I mean, seriously, you just cannot have a quasi-governmental bank. I mean, it is just.
You can't even have a governmental bank. They've tried it.
Right. That's what I mean.
They were doing it. In fact, if there are two things to consider along that. I'm going to digress just for sort of a digression, just
digression,
for a second.
Digression.
In Argentina, they seized all the pension plans, and they want to do that here in this country. They're not saying that, but that's what they're doing. They ran out of money in Argentina. This is not even Venezuela, for God's sakes. This is Argentina.
Don't cry.
And what they did is, in order to get some money, they said, and they're going to do the same thing here. Pelosi's already put up a thing like this, a plan. And here's the deal. Here's what you do. You take your 401k that you've invested in, you worked, and it's all your own money. But here's what we're going to do. Today only, you know, your 401k has dropped in value because of the stock market or whatever. We will guarantee the value of that 401k at, you know, some number in the past.
She's ripping me off.
There you go. Exactly.
She's ripping me off, man. That's my wealth insurance.
That's right. So what they're going to do is they're going to guarantee you, they're going to take your, if you'll put your 401, if you'll give your 401k money to the government, they will guarantee you a 3% return plus inflation or something along those lines.
3%?
3% plus inflation. And of course, the joke is, it'll never happen. I mean, what can you imagine? Can you imagine the maroons that would actually give their 401ks, even after the slicing and dicing that the 401ks have had up to now? But I mean, the thing about it is,
people will line up to do it,
and they deserve. As far as I'm concerned, they deserve to lose it.
Absolutely.
Here's the deal. What's so funny about this is the guarantee. The government's going to guarantee this money, but it's just like Social Security. They've spent the money.
Yeah.
The Social Security money that you put us.
It's gone.
It's gone. I mean, it never was there in the first place. I mean, you know, they call it a trust fund, as if you could trust the government. You know, you're right. I trust you. Just give me money. I mean, it's such a joke. I mean, you know, it is stunning to me when anybody realizes that the Congress and the president and the government has been spending your Social Security, I mean, literally trillions of dollars. Over the last 40 or 50 years since Social Security was founded, they have spent all that money, every dime of it they spent. And now it's not enough. It's never enough. Now they said, well, we're out of that pension money. Let's see. Well, let's cast around here and see where. Oh, here's some money just laying around in the banks for these people's retirement. Tell you what we're going to do. If you'll give us your money, we'll give it back. With interest. I mean, what a bunch of maroons. And of course, I say in Venezuela, I mean, in Argentina, they just did it. They, you know, you didn't have a choice. They just went in and took the pension funds,
Jimmy,
of all these people.
Listen to this.
And so what they're going to do in this country, because it's a free country, they're going to give you a choice. They're going to give you a choice.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you wonder why the stock market has plummeted from, you know, 15,000 to 8,000 or whatever it is. You wonder why all these stocks have gone. It's because people are sitting there saying, we know who's going to get elected, and our money is going to be no money. No Obama, no money.
I mean, what are you just going through every button you got?
It was all these, you know, like the
screams and the.
Wait. It's Halloween.
It is. You know.
I'll do it. Here, I got one for here. Just Obama. There we go. Here, I got another one for you. Obama. There we go.
Democrat. Oh my God! I'm just. That's it. We're done.
Who was that? Biden.
No. How about Sarah Palin?
She's good. She's very good.
Told her to stop. You're thin ice now. I got a letter. I got a personal letter from her.
Yeah.
How about Palin?
Yeah. I got a personal letter from Sarah Palin.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, personal letter.
Nice.
I did.
That wasn't the girl's playing nail and pill.
Dear Jimmy.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Dear Jimmy.
And what did it say?
It said, please send me $1,000 for the Republican National Committee.
Did it have a pair of panties in it?
I wish. I'd have slept with those.
So.
You know, I was gonna take my kilt to Washington, but Mrs. Jimmy kiboshed that.
Oh, why?
I don't know. I didn't think it was. I thought it was great because I was gonna
Absolutely.
Wear it to the shindig and everything.
You don't wear anything underneath it, you know.
Of course not.
Of course not. You say, hey, you know, you think it's kind of like a big bell, like, you know, when I reach around and find it, you're gonna find it.
But the problem is, they'd look at it and say, "What the hell is that?"
It's a kind of a slivered up dugger, but it works great. It gets bigger when you tug on it.
It's amazing how that works.
It's amazing. It's like a organic one.
Well, what I've noticed too now, like you said, since the bailout was such a failure too, I've noticed how they're trying to, especially the Congress is trying to push all these other bailouts.
No, I mean, they've already, let's see, did they bail out the auto? They sent like $75 billion or something.
Auto.
And there was a big article in yesterday's or today's Wall Street Journal that they bailed out AIG, the insurance company, for $85 billion. And they're saying, what happened to the money? I mean, this is like a week, okay? Right. This is like a week, and they're saying, what happened to it?
And wasn't
you're
there
out.
Seven, wasn't there $700 billion?
It was $700 billion, but $150 billion of it was what is admitted pork.
Admitted.
They have no shame. They just said, this
not
is.
Not even thinking about it.
Not
going
even
to the thinking bailout.
About it. Not even try to disguise it.
Did we ever put a list of all that stuff up on the.
No, it's well, wait.
Of
look,
all the stuff they actually spent it on?
They showed a picture of the bailout bill. One of the things that I've always said is, if you look at a bill, a something that Congress does, or anybody actually, and if it's more than one page, it's mischief, crap, and everything. This thing was about an inch thick. The bailout bill was about an inch thick. I saw a picture of it. It was like 100, 200 pages. Well, you know that if it was 200 pages, 198 pages were the pork. I mean, and they just don't describe it as such. But even when the reporters have gone up to the Congress people and said, look, it seems like there's a lot of pork in this. And the congressman looks at the reporter and says, and what's your point?
It's a big feeding frenzy.
Yeah,
it's a trough.
It is absolutely a trough. I mean, it's unbelievable. And to think that these guys, think that they are taking care of the money as if they would take care of their own.
What's amazing. I mean, Jimmy, there's a couple things about this. I mean, I've heard proposals now that they're saying because these banks that have received the money are not stepping up to the line, so to speak, that the Treasury should step in, and if not, Congress should step in and let the FDIC run the whole show.
FDIC and the Treasury. They want to have, and of course, one of the things that they do is they say, well, we need, and I've seen this, some editorials on this. I don't know if I've got it here, but they're talking about everybody's got their own plan.
Right.
Now, the thing about it is, so far I've seen, I don't know how many plans, lots of plans. Everybody's got a plan. They can't all be right, and my guess is that virtually every one of them is wrong, and because every one of them involves some government intervention in the marketplace.
Absolutely.
And
okay,
I think
that didn't work.
And what we need to do is get Gerald Ford back here that says, Gerald Ford to the rest of the country, drop dead, and we're not going to do any bailout and see what happens.
Do you have the Star Wars quote that says, I'm altering the deal?
No, I don't, but that's a good one.
I brought it, if you don't
know. All right, well, I'll edit that in. So here it goes. Ready?
Arisian, take the princess and the Wookiee to my ship.
You said they'd be left in the city under my supervision.
I am altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
Perfect.
And yeah, I mean, look, these banks and these insurance companies got in bed with the government, and now it really they're leaning towards just taking them over.
Well, they're going to even do it. I'm looking here at an op-ed piece. This is really funny. I like this. It's called Mortgage Justice is Blind. I think this was an op-ed piece in the New York Times today. And it's called Mortgage Justice is Blind. The current American economic crisis, which began with a housing collapse that had devastating consequences for our financial system, now threatens the global economy. But while we're rushing around trying to pick up all the other falling dominoes, the housing crisis continues and must be addressed. We start with this simple fact. Too many families are being thrown out of their homes when it makes more sense to let them stay in by, quote, reworking their mortgages, adjusting the terms to make it easier for them to stay.
Look, right away, I mean, I'm not even a financier, but it seems to me like if you've got all this money tied up in all of these mortgages, that the only way to liquidate that is if you can get the people out of the dang houses.
That's right.
And how can you expect the housing market to return to normal if you have a freeze on foreclosures?
That's exactly right. Not only that, they want to have the rest of the taxpayers pick up the tab like they do with what they call affordable housing, quote unquote. Affordable housing is like a regular house, only I get to pay for part of the payment.
Yeah, that means I'm paying for it, so it's affordable to you.
But what I like this is op-ed contributor.
Me some affordable housing because my house isn't very affordable.
No, mine's not affordable at all. I can't afford this place.
You don't even pay for it. You're just house squatting from somebody else.
Well, I am renting the land here.
Are you getting a bailout? Are they going to bail you out?
I doubt it.
You got to at least ask.
But you don't make no big cash every year. The show certainly doesn't.
I wanted to mention that, by the way, to our listener.
Yeah.
Well, we make $5 to $10 million.
Our listener needs to send us another $5.
Do I have to remind you guys? Look on my wall right here.
That's from Kevin right there.
That's right.
Hey, and Gunner is not in Murfreesboro.
He's in Smyrna. I thought.
Yeah, well, no.
Smyrna, Tennessee.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's next door to there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's close.
It's close. It's all the
all
same.
Right,
it's, all
those,
it's Tennessee,
hey,
for God's sake.
But also, we haven't heard from Kyle down in New Zealand either, man. He's been
incommunicado. Well, yeah.
He's probably tied up someplace.
He's probably tied up. Yeah, he's tied up. But I love this. In the end of this, of course, this op-ed piece by John somebody and Susan somebody, we need an innovative approach to overcome the gridlock that plagues our housing markets. Otherwise, we imperil millions of homeowners and, through the alchemy of derivatives, the American and global economy. Yeah, well, I don't believe it. Anyway, here's the final thing. John, what's his name? Can't even pronounce it. Is a professor of economics at Yale and a partner in a hedge fund that trades in mortgage securities.
No,
and
no
Susan Koniak is a former law professor. I mean, here are the people writing on how to get out of this thing. Yeah, save my ass is what it is. I love it.
Jimmy, I mean, seriously, how can the government?
Sorry, I don't
what
know,
was it?
It was a champagne cork.
Okay, right.
He's all excited.
Jimmy, how can the government, on one hand, be assuming all these hideous loans?
Okay, that's us, of course.
Right,
we get to assume the loans.
Then they're freezing all the mortgages so that the loans are worthless.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. Think about it for a second. If you loan somebody, let's say you had a mortgage on somebody's house. Let's say I did. I mean, I've done this before. I've sold properties before and taken back the mortgage. And how would I like it if the guy walked up to me and said, you know, I can't pay it, but you can't kick me out. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's chop the interest rate in half and stretch the payments out for 40 years. And if you don't want to do that, I'm going to send somebody around with a gun to shoot you. And, I mean, that's what it boils down to. I mean,
it is.
Going to have to shoot you.
It's amazing. They want the housing market to fix itself, but they're going to stop it from fixing itself. Then they're going to hold on to these bad loans until it gets fixed.
But it ain't going to get... Well, it's like the Depression. They're going to just drag it out. Again, I've said this before. It's like pulling the Band-Aid off very, very slowly when you could yank it off and be done with all this pain in no time.
Right.
Well, shit happens. I mean, some people are going to get hurt. And the idea is somehow... Oh, part of this plan was we're going to have the government people, some very nice official government, nice government people come by and determine which of the people who are being foreclosed on are worthy of staying in the house and which need to be foreclosed on. I mean, what is that all about?
Yeah, they're always trying to screw you.
some compassionate...
Yeah, going to come by. And I mean, can you imagine how many people... they're going to walk up there and say, you're not worthy.
Not worthy.
Yeah, no, I mean, exactly. It reminds me, I was watching this, while we were gone, the city of Gainesville had the award ceremony for the city manager and for the city attorney.
Were there any plaques handed out?
No, actually, they gave them a $500 bonus for
oh my God.
They gave them a $500 because nobody gets a raise this year because of whatever it is, but
you can get a bonus.
They got a $500 bonus. Because they got rave reviews. All the commissioners said they were just doing a bang up job. Fantastic. They apparently.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking, what else are you going to say? I mean, you know, these guys, it's all incest. I mean, of course they're going to get the bonus. You know, if it's there, then duh. I mean, they're going to tell the guy, I can just see it right now. If they gave him a bad review and didn't fire him, I mean, and so, but they got rave reviews. I mean, these guys are bang up there doing an unbelievably good job. And I'm looking around at the city here and seeing what the taxes are and everybody. The school, of course, the school system, I don't even want to hardly talk about
that. Hold on. We'll get to that in a minute, Jim. I still got a little more of this bailout thing.
Okay.
I know it's dragging on, but this is very important, you guys. I mean, seriously, this is going to double to, I think those of us who said that it wasn't going to work or if it didn't work, we'd be in big trouble are now vindicated. It looks to me like this thing is going to double. To $1.4 trillion before it's all over. We're going to bail out everybody and give everybody wealth insurance. Yeah.
But the thing is, where are they getting the money from?
They're going to print it.
They're going to make
they're
more.
And this goes back to the Federal Reserve System. I mean, they are going to steal it from our future by printing it, in my opinion. I mean,
no, they're going to have to, obviously, at some point. But, I mean, the point is that doesn't anybody ask, Where are you getting this money from, by the way? Even if it were from taxes or from loans or whatever it is, I mean, but where actually are you getting this? And of course, my point is, believe it or not, even the world economy, the United States, China, Russia, whoever it is, all the tea in China, at some point, there ain't no more money.
Right.
I mean, how much is...
Well, the market can only sustain so much regulation and tinkering and add-ons before...
It collapses under its own weight.
Right. And people will stop using it. They'll do the black market or whatever. And I mean,
The black market, of course, I've always said that the black market should be called the white market. The black market in any society is an indication of how poorly the government is doing things. And if you have a large black market, it's because the government sucks.
And it's growing here.
Well, and that's the true free market.
Well, now our government's becoming the black market.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's become a little bit of anarchy. I mean, you know, this is one of the things that I did see on the trip. This is not unusual. Let me put it this way. It's almost every place I saw it. They're screaming. All the governments are saying, oh, woe is us. We're screaming. We're going down the toilet. Virginia, towns. I saw little and small towns all the way up and down the coast when I was reading the newspaper. And it was just stunning to me to see the same old refrain from government type people saying, you know, just what are we going to do? And I'm thinking, shut up. And what they do is here's the another article from today's paper. Governors call for rescue package for the states and stimulus. They want a federal stimulus package, whatever that means. State governments would face devastating cutbacks if they did not receive assistance.
Oh, I know. I'm thinking
how devastating, you know, okay. And what does that mean?
I underlined the key words in your other article in that Wall Street Journal from Saturday. Things like critical services, they always say.
Yeah.
And sensitive areas. We're going to shore up sensitive areas of the economy.
I like when they cut the non-essential jobs.
Well, I like, of course,
non-essential jobs.
You remember when we had the government close down?
We're going to go ahead and close in all the non-essential parts.
Right? Yeah, of course, the first question was,
if they're non-essential,
what are they doing there in the first place?
In the first place. Yeah. Well, wasn't it Kennedy that also said, President John F. Kennedy had said, no, we need to like raise some money, so we're going to cut some taxes.
Yeah, of course, that was one of the things I saw this on TV. They played this a lot recently. Apparently, whoever the moderator was in one of these debates really tried to pin Obama down on this capital gains thing. I mean, really pinned him down. After the first time I've ever heard anything like that, and he couldn't answer the question. And here's the deal: he asked me, he said, "You know, in 19,
he knows the answer.
Whenever we've cut the capital gains rate, the actual revenues to the government have increased. And so why would you want to increase the capital gains?" And of course he mumbled and stumbled around. And I don't forget, it was Charlie Gibson or whoever the thing was. He said, otherwise known as Obama.
Obama. He bombed the question.
Okay. Is that what they're going to call him? Just Obama?
Bama.
Anyway, and he tried to pin him down. He still couldn't answer. And then, of course, the ultimate clip is the one when he's doing with Joe the Plumber. And, of course, that's been played all over the place where he said,
Spread the wealth.
And of course, my first question, which Joe the Plumber didn't ask him, was, whose wealth are you talking about spreading? I mean, mine? I got enough places to put my...
There was the Obama on Halloween audio clip that was running around. I was like, okay, well, you come into my house and... okay, what we're going to do is we're going to spread the wealth a little bit. So you're going to give me all of your candy. And, okay, so I see that you're dressed as a pirate. Well, a pirate represents Wall Street, so you're going to get, like, two pieces. And so you're dressed as a princess, so, you know, you're already rich, so you're going to get another two pieces. And then I'm going to give the rest of my stuff to the clowns and the hobos. And then the kids are, like, screaming and crying, going, well, that's not fair. I mean, what do we have? We've been walking around for hours collecting candy.
Well, of course, that was the thing that he said about the capital gains thing was he said he wanted fairness.
Right.
In this. That was all he cared about, not anything
fair
to do with... No, hey, it was...
It's,
and, of course, the question is, what's fair about taking my money and giving it to somebody else? Well, I never quite understood
watch Lathe of Heaven, and you'll figure out what fair is.
Man, it's just scary. What else you got on this bailout?
Well, I'll tell you a couple things. I mean, look. I think it needs to be said that the cause of this collapse was not rampant capitalism. It was government interference.
Right.
It was because the government guaranteed a bunch of...
And it shows you what their guarantees are worth.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. They backed it up. They're bailing all these companies out, just like they said they would.
But it's not going to happen. I mean, they're not going to do it.
It's going to happen for the companies, but it's not going to happen for the taxpayer, ultimately. I mean, what's going to happen is they're undermining all the potential wealth that was potentially created. I mean,
one of the things that you don't realize about a balloon, when this was a balloon, it's the same thing with the tech thing, with the tech boom in the 90s. The fact is the wealth was never there. I mean, the simple fact is, and I've said this before, if you're in a neighborhood, let's say you're in a neighborhood where all the houses are homogeneous. That is to say, they're all about the same, roughly. You know, a nice neighborhood, there's 100, 200 houses there. Some Arab shows up and buys one of the houses for $10 million. Well, suddenly, everybody thinks their house is worth $10 million. They're not. Right. They're not. They never were. That was just that was a one-shot deal. So the tax appraiser, of course, he comes around and says, oh, my God, this is a comparative analysis. So he raises all the values up to $10 million, and then the taxes all go up and everything. And then they suddenly find out that, you know, the next guy that wants to buy a house, the next 47 people that want to buy a house are not willing to pay more than $200,000. And, you know, if you had thought that your house was worth $10 million, you were dreaming. And you knew it wasn't. And that's the whole thing. All these people that went out and got the equity loans on their houses were idiots. I mean, you know, it was found money, and they knew it. They knew it.
Yeah,
that it was found money. And it was, and now they have to pay the price.
Well,
it's just that simple.
But
they should have. Yeah.
They're getting
but
all
the money, the point is, the money was never there in the first place. It just wasn't. Not every house in the United States could be worth $10 million. It's just not that kind of money. And so the real value of a house is what a willing seller and buyer, you know, get together at the same time.
eBay.
And just because one person did it one time, or, you know, in a couple of different places, and that, and it seemed to shoot up all over the place, the money just was never there. And the same thing with the tech bubble. You know, when Netscape went to $170 a share, it was the greater fool theory. It's like the tulip bulb.
Well,
we talked about this.
The point is that the government didn't bail out every tech industry that went under.
No. In fact, none of them.
And it's looking like if the tech bubble happened again, that they would.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you're exactly right.
Could you imagine that cost?
You've hit the nail on the head. Here, I've just read the thing from Gerald Ford, 1975.
Gerald Ford
to New York City, dropped dead. We're not going to bail you out. 1980, the federal government spent $7.5 billion to bail out Chrysler. Now think about it. Now you can bail out everybody.
Right.
Automobiles, homeowners, everybody. You think you can do it? You know, okay, let's, and the whole thing is you're washing each other's laundry here. You know, now we're going to bail out the entire United States.
Well, that's what I said. Well, wealth insurance.
I mean, everybody gets bailed out.
Earth insurance on the last show was the best one.
Yeah, no, I like
earth
that.
Earth insurance.
No, I mean, I cut that as a clip. That was
everybody,
great.
We're going to bail out the, let's bail out the world.
The entire world.
We're going to bail out the universe.
It makes
that's
perfect
it.
Sense.
Yeah, it
I'll
does.
Tell you what, Jimmy, they need to abolish the Federal Reserve System pretty much immediately.
Yep.
They need to go back to the gold standard if they want to keep the money
being
valuable.
Well, they don't even have to go back to the gold standard. They could just they can go back to whatever standard comes up, and it will be the gold standard.
Okay,
I'm saying that there's no legal requirement. It'll turn out fairly quickly that it would be gold
standard for,
I'm
all
sure,
I care, you know,
but
fine.
I'm saying that there doesn't have to be a law to have what is exchangeable, what is money.
Every
transfer.
Dollar equals one lap dance. I'm on the stripper standard. That's my new standard.
Okay, of course.
A dollar a lap dance?
Yeah.
What do you get for a dollar?
Well, you'll find out if you go on my standard. It'll cost you $50.
Now,
to get on my standard.
Now, Jimmy, here are all these bad loans.
You can see what kind of a lap dance you're going to be getting for a dollar.
Well, we don't know yet. But yeah, well, what kind of lap dance are you getting for your dollar right now?
96-year-old.
In D.C. with a walker.
Yeah, that's right. I'm getting lap dance from somebody in a walker.
Right. All right. Well, anyway, so go ahead.
I'm sorry.
So, Jimmy, you got all these bad loans and stuff out there. And then you've got proposals by Obama for things like health insurance. They want to insure people with pre-existing conditions.
Yep.
I mean, doesn't that sound like a bad loan?
Sounds like a bailout to me.
I mean, that's a bailout.
You're bailing out somebody from their pre-existing condition.
It's a total bailout.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've got lung cancer. Can I get insurance? Here's my premium. Now, where's my lung?
But I'm sorry. I got off this. The Federal Reserve needs to go, I mean, back to gold or something like that. Now,
it would be gold.
We need to have a big push for freedom in the markets, that is less regulation.
How about no regulation almost?
Yeah,
regulation. Let me tell you, and this is what gets me about this. We're going to talk about this in a minute on another item, and that is what is so interesting about these people who said about the regulations. The way they want to fix it is with more regulations.
Right.
I mean, the way they want to fix a regulated, you know, strangled economy is with, we're going to have some new regulations that are better than the old ones.
No, I mean, the counselor and I were over here parking cars at your house here trying to score some extra money since we broke in and got the stuff out. But, you know, it was amazing. Like, you know, people are showing up here and we're going, you know, these people are like, well, we gave away most of your Cokes and your water and stuff like that for free. But the thing was,
you didn't take the ice out of the refrigerator to cool it off.
I did. I took some ice out.
But there was buckets of it in there for just for that purpose.
Well, I understand, but I actually refilled it. I was that nice, at least. But I did steal all your change money. But anyway, other than that, the thing was is that what Curtis and I were talking about, it's like, you know, if you're walking to the game, like all these people, you know, if we hadn't given them, you know, your, you know, Cokes and Diet Cokes and water, you know, you couldn't like legally sell that on the side of the road. And it's like, what if you wanted a hot dog? What if you wanted something? Like, how can you?
You'd have to get a license.
You get a license.
Permit,
you get a permit.
All kinds
you
also
get
a
exactly.
If
it's
they did away with all
tape.
That stuff,
yeah. I mean, it's like, hey man, I want to sell, you know, my partner's sister on the side of the road. I got a tent over here.
Got a tent right here and a
right.
hot dog for a dollar.
You want fries with that?
You
right.
want fries
you want
with
fries
her.
With that?
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
No, they, of course, it's all for the public safety. Everything's for the public safety. Every time you turn around, it's for the public safety. Doesn't matter what it is. The public safety, I remember when I tried to years ago here in town, about 25 or 30 years ago, we did not have a sign ordinance in this town. Believe it or not, you could put up any sign any place you wanted to. And people were talking about the sign pollution. So they started to get together. This is in the mid 70s. I went down to talk to them about it. In fact, I hired an attorney. To say, you know, they can't do that. Well, it turns out that in 1962 here in Florida, we had Hurricane Donna that ripped through and tore up.
Donna.
That's right. Donna and tore up Naples. I mean, leveled Naples. Donna. And so Naples so passed bad. A law that said you couldn't have real estate signs in your lawn because everybody wanted to sell. So they passed a law that said you the only thing you could do is to have a generic sign that said, see your broker or something like that, because they were worried that the property values in Naples, which of course had tanked because of the hurricane, would even go down further. So they passed a law that said you couldn't, your real estate, your various realtors could not put their real estate sign in your lawn. That law actually lasted until about 1980, but the point was somebody took it to court. They went to the Florida Supreme Court, and the Florida Supreme Court said, yep, sure enough, that is a legitimate police function. That is a legitimate police function to regulate that kind of a sign. Well, of course, once they do that, once it goes to the Florida Supreme Court and
yeah,
they do that.
Everybody's got free reign.
Then it's all over. Yep. It's almost as bad as Wickard. I mean,
well,
you know, we
traced that one back a little bit to when they got to health, safety, welfare, and morals of the community. That's the standard police functions as they're
right.
defined.
But I mean, now it's gotten to the point where literally, I mean, when you talk about the licensing that you have to have and the stuff that they put under the umbrella of public safety is just a joke. And of course, what's happening is that they say, well, what do you want? You want anarchy or something like that? And of course, the anarchy now, the only thugs that are marching up and down the streets or all have the word sheriff or ATF or something on the back of them. I mean,
jackbooted.
I mean, literally, when you see these guys, if it weren't for the letters on their jacket, you'd think they were terrorists. I mean, and they show up. They had one here recently where they went into a community up here, Archer, and they raided this community totally and the, you know, for drugs or whatever, wasn't they? I mean, they came in there like, it was a SWAT team. I mean, there was like 20 of them.
Helicopters, FLIR.
I mean, everything, the whole deal, and they got like two people. And they arrested him. They were, you know, these typical guys and they arrested him. Maybe they were selling drugs. I don't know. But the point is, and it was part of a, you know, a year long investigation where they, you know, they were buying drugs, you know,
right.
and selling drugs and all
heaven
this
forbid.
Stuff. Heaven forbid. No, I mean, the undercover people were all buying and selling, you know, probably
right.
cost them. I would guess it probably cost them $100,000 to arrest these two guys.
Right.
And I mean, you can imagine if you're sitting there on your front porch and all of a sudden, you know, a black uniformed, all covered up masks. I mean, you
right.
know, I always wondered why do these guys, Kevlar, the whole deal, and heavy duty, and,
right.
and we're talking machine guns.
Right.
Automatic.
No. Yeah.
Okay. My question is, I always wondered why do these guys have to wear a mask?
So you can't spray them with pepper spray.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a cloth mask. Yeah, yeah.
It's just a
because
cloth
the
mask.
Pepper spray would.
Yeah,
it's just like a regular ski mask these guys have. I'm not
like
talking about the gas mask. Well, I know it's, but why would you want to be anonymous? Why would you care? You're the police. I mean, you know, you've got a gun.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You're McBain.
Yeah.
You're coming in to get the bad guys.
Yeah. I mean, I never have.
You want your face publicly displayed at all times.
They showed, speaking of that, what the police do, of course, they showed up. I was watching a fascinating, if you ever get a chance to see it, it's called The American Experience. One good thing that PBS does. It's called The American Experience, and they're talking about the Johnson years. No. Anyway, they were talking about the Chicago, in 1968, in Chicago, there was a presidential, select the president, you know, the
convention.
Convention, right. And that's when they had the big riots and everything, but they showed, they literally had the old film footage of the police taking their names off the, you know, they had
before they went into battle.
Before they went in, yeah, taking their names off so you wouldn't know who they were.
Wow.
Yeah, no, they had actual footage of them removing their names off their uniforms and also covering up the tags on the cars. That actual footage of that. I mean, this is news footage of this. I thought
this is 68?
68, yeah. Mm. So it was, I tell you, it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. It was the second. It was the second show. It was about the second Johnson administration, the one where he was actually elected from 64 to 68. And it was one of the, I would say it's even because I agreed with it. But I couldn't believe on PBS that they would show how disastrous and what an unmitigated disaster.
They rolled the wrong tape.
They must have. But I thought there was one segment that was really fascinating. There was one segment. This shows you a lot about governments in general. And that is, it was called The Last Believer, and it had to do with the Vietnam War. And I, of course, was in this and part of this, and it was interesting because they had Johnson's brain, what they called the brain trust, and these are the old guys that were from the Second World War and from Korea War and everything like that. And these were people that had been in government, you know, collectively. Eight of them had like 250 years of government service and so forth. And they sat around, eight or nine of them, and they I don't remember what day it was, but they sat around and they said, "Yep, sure enough, we need to go into Vietnam, and we're going to, you know, nail them and everything." This is like in 1966 or 67. And then about 6 months or 8 months later, McNamara came out, and he put this thing out that said, you know, we made a slight error. It's not going to take 500,000 men. It's going to take, you know, at least 750,000 or 800,000. And it's not going to take 1 or 2 years. It's going to take 5 years. And we may not win. Well, then this brain trust got together with Johnson again. He called them all in, wanting the vindication for what he was going to do, and they said no. They said, you know, no matter what, this is going to cost. At this point, there were only 20,000 dead. I don't know, for those of you listening, there were 55,000 killed in Vietnam when it was all over. But at this point, there were about 20,000 casualties, deaths, and
how many died at the Ground Zero in Hiroshima?
Hiroshima.
Yeah.
I think that was about 80,000. I'll double check on that, though.
Okay.
I didn't think it was anywhere near that, but it could be. Yeah, but that was highly dense. We don't get any.
We don't get any listeners
from Japan anywhere,
hurt, man.
So the point was that the brain trust said, you know, let's get out, and Johnson said no. And as they said, the last believer, and they showed a picture of him. I mean, it was fascinating that at that point, when there's still 20,000, only 20,000 had died. He was the only one that was still for the Vietnam War, and it cost, you know, and then it was another 30,000 deaths after that. Unbelievable. And that's what happened. I mean, you talk about true believers. I mean, this is what happens so often in government. You get people that are true believers. There's nothing you could say to these people that'll change their mind. No logic, facts, nothing, no empirical evidence will change their mind. They have a mindset, and their egos and everything else is on the line. I mean, certainly wasn't the money for Johnson. It just had to be his ego. It had to be this monumental ego.
66,000 dead in Hiroshima, 69,000 injured, 135,000 total.
Grant says,
well, now, wait a minute. Now, by the way, for what it's worth, you know, I don't know what the casualties were on the Vietnamese side, but somebody said it was like a million.
We won that one?
Okay. Yeah. Did we win that?
No.
I don't think so.
Not even
so
close.
So if we lost 55,000, we killed a million, and we lost the war. I don't think that's such a good... I don't think that was such a great one. Great idea.
It wasn't a great idea for me.
You guys want to take a little break?
We're going to go for it. I just want to say one thing that... Yeah. You know, I was preparing my notes for the show today, and I right-clicked on Obama, and the first spelling check suggestion
Osama. Same thing happened to me today. Hey, Obama is not in the dictionary, but Osama is. Yeah! It's called the White House, but not for long.
you.